Father God, I do thank you once again this day to again have the opportunity to stand before your people in you. Lord, you know everything about each of us in all situations that we're all dealing with. But Father God, we're going to keep our eyes on you. We love you. We give you all the praise. And Father, once again, let me decrease that you would increase and have a word for us this day. So we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I think a little of what I'm feeling, sometimes when the Lord is stirring and you get ready to deliver something on his behalf, it can get a little heavy. At the same time, it can be a little warfare too. The enemy does not want God's word to go forth. But we're going to share and see what God has for us today. And it's funny because the title of the message, I think, is what is trying to distract me from being able to do and share with you. And that title is Focused Vision.
Wow.
Focused Vision. You know, church, it's interesting if you think about just that title, Focused and Vision. We know vision is spoken about in so many different scenarios. You know, people say, what's your vision? Or ask you, do you have a vision for your future or things that are to come? We know eyesight is connected to vision, and even in the Bible, the scripture talks about write the vision and make it plain. And so you have what I would say natural vision, spiritual vision on those two sides of things that so many different topics and discussions come into play. And so, and speaking of today, of focused vision, I was thinking about our senses, Sister Loretta, our five senses, you know, that sight, hearing, taste, smell, and touch. And those are, in a sense, vital to our being, how we get through day by day. All of us may not have all those senses working at optimal level. Generally, we get them at birth, and you know, as you go through the years and get older, those senses may begin to dull, one or the other. But when I thought about vision and thinking about sight, if you talk to most people, or I'll just say many people, don't want to put it in a category, I just know how I would feel. And you talk about if there was a sense that you didn't want to lose, which one would it be? A whole lot of people would say sight. Hearing would be one. I know you can go down a list of the five, but if you said sight, most people will raise their hand. Oh, yeah. You know, and even if it was the top one, that'd be one that'd be like, oh. Think about this, church, and just do this with me for a minute. If you cover your eyes like this, that's a strange feeling when you can't see. Now, we know you feel pretty good about it because you know you're getting ready to take your hands away and you'll be able to see. But that's not the case for all people. You may know some and you may not know many people, but that don't have their sight, the impaired. Some have dim vision or blurred vision. That's a challenge in itself. And, you know, we can get corrective things, corrective lenses, glasses to help us see, whatever. But I'm talking about not seeing at all. Some people born from birth, blind. I had a neighbor, her name was Mrs. Bragg, and she lost her sight later in her years. But it was pretty heartbreaking to watch her in those latter years of not having her sight and having to be taken around. And, you know, now you wouldn't even know it because the joy of the Lord was her strength. Amen.
Amen.
She was a pastor's wife, but more importantly, she was a woman of God and she loved the Lord. And you wouldn't even really know it by the way she talked, but we knew, you know, and it's just like you say, wow, that was somebody in my immediate grasp that I knew. But very interesting, church, because when you think about, again, vision and sight, natural, spiritual, a lot of people get them even mixed up. They don't necessarily even understand the difference. They hear it and they say, oh, yeah, you know, spiritual vision and natural vision. But I think God wants to give us some perspective on what vision really can mean, and particularly, even speaking to our title, focus vision, which will have a lot more meaning by, I think, as we get further through the message. But as I wrestled, or should I say, just kind of went back and forth with God on what he was showing me around this and the whole aspect of vision, I want to share a couple of people in the Bible that could give us a perspective of vision or lack of vision from a natural and a spiritual perspective. It's something that you probably might not have thought about, because I know I hadn't whenever I thought about these particular scriptures, Sister Loretta, and how these individuals conducted themselves. But I want to share, if you have your Bible, you can go here, but I'm just going to read it. They're not lengthy scriptures, but I think pretty important. And this would be an example of, in a sense, having your natural vision, but maybe losing some spiritual vision. And actually thinking that maybe you got it, but you don't. And that can even be more of a challenge. And so I found a really interesting, church. I feel the spirit coming on now. I'm starting to feel better. Found an interesting, church, that these two individuals I'm going to speak about now, James and John, were two of Jesus' disciples. And the story to me is so amazing, and particularly as God was revealing more things to me about it, is because these are two people, Sister Shelley, that was a part of Jesus' inner circle of the disciples. James, John, and, you know, there's Peter. James and John were brothers. And so in this passage of scripture, this is in Mark 10, verses 35 through 40. And let me give you a little context. So you imagine you're going around with Jesus. And this made me think about sometimes evangelists Blaine would say, like, I remember one time he was talking about if he was running with Jesus, how he would feel like, man, you know, he's on A-team. You know, he's watching Jesus perform all these miracles, and how, in one sense, that could be so great. But then he could almost lose the focus of, like, what was his role really supposed to be? Because he's, like, right with the man. You know, the guy's performing miracles. The guy that everybody's like, hey, you know, that's Jesus. And he's in his inner circle. He's part of the team. But kind of lose himself along the way. So this is after Jesus is already walking through towns, performing miracles. He's got his disciples with him. And this is a conversation that comes up. Starting with 10, verse 35, it says, then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, remember that, sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. They said, teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. So they asked Jesus to do him a favor. Verse 36, Jesus says, what is your request? He asked. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, get ready, church, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. This is James and John saying this to Jesus. When Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking.
Woo.
Are you able to drink from the bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Come on, church. Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Verse 39. Oh, yes, they replied. We are able. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering. But I have no right to say who will sit on my right, ooh, come on, church, and who will sit on my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen.
Ooh,
my goodness, church, there's some meat in there right there. So, again, this is James and John in a circle, running with Jesus, right? Now, they had their sight, natural sight. They could see, okay? And I believe they had some spiritual vision as well because they've been running with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus is teaching them. So they're like, hey, they with the man himself. It don't get no better. But along the way, Sister Loretta, it starts turning towards them. Ooh, my God. I want to sit in the honor with you. Hey, this is cool. And all of a sudden, it shifts from serving the people. Oh, my goodness. It's for me. This is boys in a crew doing good stuff. But how easy we can get turned. So you have that. Very interesting. But church, here's even why it's more interesting. You go right from there. I believe that as God was revealing to those that wrote the Bible, as it was man inspired, everything is always in the order that God does. There's nothing in coincidence to say, oh, well, this just went here and that, whatever. He just spoke to them, his inner circle, and kind of had to wake them up. So, hey, y'all want to sit on my left or my right in honor? Like, have y'all forgotten? Y'all remember, right? Like, hey, I didn't come down to be served. Oh, come on, church. I came to serve. Woo, my God. Ain't about me. I'm Jesus. He goes right from there to the very next passage of the scripture. You've heard about this, but this is what I don't think you may have heard about or had it presented this way. If you did, then hear it again. This is about Jesus healing blind Bartimaeus. Ooh, my God, church. Bartimaeus. Now, we know he did miracles with various people. Now, I'm not talking about the blind man that was blind from birth and he spit in the mud and, you know, and all hands on his eyes. Not that blind man. They said Bartimaeus had his sight at some point, that he lost his sight maybe early in life. I read some readings where they didn't necessarily know the age. I saw some stuff where they said he was 5. Different things, right? Bartimaeus. Now, before I read the scripture of Bartimaeus, let me read you, as y'all always like, as you've mentioned to me, the teaching aspect of when I preach. So let me give you a little background on this. Bartimaeus. The meaning of Bartimaeus is most often interpreted son of honor. All right, Sister Loma. Or son of the honored one. A combination of the Aramaic word bar, which is son, and the Greek word Timaeus, honorable or highly prized. Another interpretation, get this church, derived from different word roots, suggests the name could mean son of uncleanliness. The name is famously associated with the blind beggar in the Gospel of Mark that we're just getting ready to read about. Going on, a couple of key points. Bartimaeus can be understood as the son of the honored one or the honorable son. Significance. The interpretation aligns with the biblical story of Bartimaeus, where his fervent faith and plea for healing led to his miraculous restoration by Jesus, suggesting a connection between honoring God and receiving blessings. Now let's go on the other side of the side of son of uncleanliness. The significance. In the historical context of Jesus' time, physical blindness, now get this, church, similar to the woman with the issue of blood, oh, come on, y'all, was sometimes seen as a result of sin. This is how people sin, right? Making this meaning potentially symbolic of society's prejudice against those considered defiled or unclean. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? We talked about her many times. When she was pressing through the cloud and had to say, unclean, unclean. Next time, right? Kind of how they marked or tried to put on the marginalized or the handicapped or whatever that you had an issue, right? And sin possibly caused you that sin. So you're kind of ostracized, all right? So you had that view of it. And then the unique naming part of this was Bartimaeus is unique in the New Testament for being the only named individual who received healing from Jesus. There were a couple of others, but they're calling this out specifically in the New Testament. So just giving you that little bit about the name Bartimaeus and what that actually stood for, Bartimaeus. The other part, church, before I read the scripture, was Bartimaeus, and this will mean a lot more in a little bit, was the son of Timaeus. Now, Timaeus was not much mentioned about him in the Bible. Matter of fact, it's only associated when you read it, they just say Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. It's like, okay, right? And we know, again, the name meaning honorable. Let me go into scripture now. So we jump on to 10, starting with verse 46 through 52. And that says, then they reached Jericho. So again, remember, they're walking, Jesus walking along the roads, right, to the different cities, and the crowds are coming with him. And they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, like I said, it was in scripture, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Ooh, church, here we go. Verse 48, be quiet. Many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. Again, remember, he's blind. He can't see. At least he couldn't see in the natural. Ooh. So they called the blind man. Cheer up, they said. Come on, he's calling you. Crowd's talking to him like, you know, it's this waste of society, right? Remember, ostracized, you know, right? Tell him to shut up, matter of fact. You know, just be quiet. What are you making all this noise for? But Jesus told him to come. Bartimaeus threw aside his coat. He had that cloak on him. Jumped up and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? This is Jesus asking him. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked. Bartimaeus says, my rabbi, teacher. The blind man said, I want to see. Ooh, man. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Does that sound similar? Wait a minute, issue of blood. Said that to him. Her faith made her whole. He's telling him, your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Amen. Amen. Church, that was Mark's account in the gospel. Let me read you Luke's account, just to give you another little flavor of a spin here. Similar, but just to hear his side of it. So Luke, got Sister Yvette laughing. Luke, it's in Luke 18, 35 through 43. And that says, as Jesus approached Jericho, A blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of a crowd going past, he asked what was happening. Again, he can't see, but he could hear. Ooh, ears to hear. Oh, my goodness. Hold up, Pastor. They told him that Jesus, the Nazarene, was going by. Verse 38. So he began shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Be quiet, the crowd is shouting. The people in front yelled at him, but he only shouted louder. Ooh, come on, church. He wasn't going to be denied. Oh, let me go on. Son of David, have mercy on me. When Jesus heard him, he stopped. Right? Jesus moved along, you know. Now, imagine, Jesus is hearing all kinds of stuff. People are shouting, yelling, whatever, right? What was it about this that caused him to stop when he heard him? As the man came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. Oh, man. And Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you, Sister Shelley. Instantly, the man could see. Instantly. And he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God too. Man, church, that is some meat. Powerful stuff in a small packet of scripture. Well, a few things going on here, church. So, I believe that what God is trying to reveal to us and for us to understand. So, a few things were happening here. Here's a man that was begging by the roadside, okay? Not just that time. He was a beggar, a blind beggar. Now, most of the time, as you might imagine, just picture it, right? Church, eyes to see. We got some eyes, right? But we got to have some spiritual seeing, you know, what's going on too, right? He's ostracized. Look down on his society. Oh, there's the beggar. And he's blind. You know? Yeah, you know. Probably know what he did. You know, people judge him. Yes. Don't know his story, but yeah, you know that type of that's what happened when you do that. Right? But he's going on about his day. Okay? Hey, all I got is what I got. I can't see. I can hear. Now, church, whoo, my goodness. You know, the thing about, you know, talk less, hear more. But how about talk less, see more? Right? We got one mouth, two ears, two eyes in the natural. So he goes out, however often he does, he's begging on the side of the road for those that pass by. Begging for alms, they say, right? Food and money. I see some of that in the streets today. Ooh, my God. I ain't got to go that far to see that. This was happening then, though, but I see that today. But imagine, but he's blind. I don't see a whole lot of blind folks out there, at least that I can't tell, but he's blind, church. Alms for the poor, right? Got his little cup out, whatever he's trying, right? Some may give, some may not. But church, as much as people put him down, again, we don't know a whole lot about his background, okay? We don't know how he became blind, right? We don't even know about his father. Wow, his natural father. They just said, son of Timaeus. Look it up. Ain't a whole lot there. But church, what God was showing me, and even that, he was going out, doing what he was doing. People are probably, you know, making fun of him, speaking down on him, whatever, you know. You out here again begging, get out of here, whatever. Some people might feel for him, give him a little something, whatever the case may be. But he did what he did, had his routine. Don't say anything about he was feeling sorry for himself. Woo, my God, church. Like, oh, well, I can't see, you know. He did what he knew to do. based on what I have seen or read about him, I believe that he has some spiritual discernment, though. See, he wasn't seeing naturally, but I believe he could see some things spiritually. Why do you say that, Pastor? Well, get the story, church. Here he is doing what he does on the regular. People go by as they go by. No big deal. However long he stays out there each day, whenever he does what he does and goes back to wherever he goes back to, wherever he lives, however he gets around. Maybe some of his friends help escort him, whatever the deal may be, right? But what was it about this particular day, church? Church, almost similar to the woman with the issue of blood, Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming by. Oh, come on, church, right? He didn't have eyes to see, but he had ears to hear. Come on, Sister Loretta. See, he knew something was different about this passing. He's sitting on the side, and you heard me reading the scripture when I was reading it. He's talking about, he's hearing this bustle of a crowd, like something's going on. You know, people, he's like, hey, what's happening, right? And they're like, hey, Jesus is coming by. And so, church, he could hear the difference. Come on, Sister Loma, right? It wasn't a parade. Oh, come on, church, like, oh, you know, oh, no, he's like, hey, wait. This is something different getting ready to happen here. Like, I can hear the sound, oh my God, of the anointed one. It's coming through. See, he knew something about lineage and linkage, right? You heard him talking about when Jesus went by, he said, Son of David. Oh my God, right? Church, this man had more sight than many that had sight because he was connected to the source. He didn't use his ailment as a scapegoat. Oh, well, woe is me. You know, I am this or whatever, right? He sees the moment. He said, wait a minute. Something else is happening. And then get this. They're telling him to shut up. Man, be quiet. Right? Church, he hollered louder. Let me read this to you. Oh, God. He said, when he heard the noise of the crowd going past. See, it wasn't a regular noise, church. Again, it wasn't the parade of, you know, the team that won the game or whatever, and they were celebrating or whatever. No. This was Jesus walking by, right? It was a different air in the atmosphere. Oh, my God, it was anointing was flowing through. He knew something was different. They said, he asked, what is happening? Oh, God, you heard the noise crack. Going back, what is happening? They told him that Jesus the Nazarene was coming by. So he began shouting, church, Jesus, Son of David. Church, his voice went up. He didn't get quiet. He said, Son of David. He wasn't being quiet about it. He knew that this was the one. And he said, have mercy on me. Church, let me break that down for you a little bit further of why this man can teach us all something. He said, have mercy on me. Church, when you say mercy, see, a lot of times, even when we talk, and we might hear, you know, something that God said or a word, and we say, oh, you know, Lord, have mercy, right? You know, we just kind of talk, right? But see, sometimes we don't know what we're saying. When you say mercy, and Spencer, how he's talking about have mercy on me, see, he knew that Jesus was the Son of David, the promised one. Right? The one that was to come. He was connected. He knew, like, hey, this is the one. He said, have mercy on me. He was saying, like, hey, have compassion. Oh, my God, sir. Right? Like, hey, have compassion on me. Church, in that very moment, he was not even talking about his sight. Oh, my God, sir. When he said, have mercy on me. See, one that recognizes to say, have mercy on me, you recognize who that person is. Yes. See, having mercy on, when you ask Jesus something like that, you recognize that he is the almighty one, right? He is the one that can judge, that can punish. Yes. So when you get to that place and realize, like, wait a minute, have mercy on me. See, I know I'm a sinner saved by grace. Oh, my God.
ain't right. See, Jesus hadn't even come yet. It wasn't like he had died for our sins yet. He was en route in that passage, you know, in terms of the things to come. But see, when he comes in the room, you know you're not right because he's all right. So you want to recognize and say, wait a minute, there's some things I got to get together. Even in his blindness, church, oh my God, in the natural, right? In the spiritual, he knew he had some stuff that was off. Hey, I may have sinned and done some things in my life or whatever. Have mercy on me, son of David, right? That's why Jesus stopped. He said, oh, this guy ain't asking me for a new car. Oh, come on, Sister Loretta. He's not asking me for what everybody else is asking for, right? He is like, hey, wait a minute. This man is talking my language. He knows who I am, church. Jesus comes and he says, what? He asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Come on, Sister Yvette. Then he says, I want to see. Oh my God, church, that was the after thing. See, he was getting bread and money from everybody else. Oh my God, right? But see, Jesus, he basically was saying, I want you. Right? As a result, like the woman of the issue of blood, your faith has made you whole. See, then Jesus said, oh, you good. Right? You're healed. Your faith has made you whole. Instantly, he could see in the natural, sir. But see, he already could see in the spiritual. Oh, my goodness. So as a result of that, get this, church. Look how he closed it out. He got his sight, Sister Loma. He didn't get his sight and go run home to his family, oh my God, and say, hey, I can see, you know, and look at me, or it's time for me to go do this. Immediately, he followed Jesus. Oh, church, come on and praise them. And others witnessed it and praised along. Church, when you begin to understand, oh my God, hallelujah, who he really is. And see, our question to you is, what are you asking him for? Oh my God. And how are you asking them? See, many people are waiting still. We talk about this all the time. Hey, God, I need you to deliver me. Hey, I need to be healed. I haven't been healed yet. Or all the different things, whatever the story is. I ask you though, how are you asking? What is your MO? Yeah, I can get it. I would want to feel good too if I'm sick or whatever I'm dealing with. But see, Jesus is more interested in the end result. What are you going to use that thing for? See, is it for my glory or for your only story? Oh my God, church. See, when we start to understand that Jesus, as I've been talking about for weeks, he's about people.
Yes.
And us extending on to people. Last week we talked about next level. See, again, next level, your next level is trying to somebody else.
Yes.
So if Jesus does it for you, he's like, hey, I didn't give you that money to go buy $1 million house. I'm not saying you can't have it, but hey, if you asking me for something, what you doing for the kingdom? Oh my God, sir. See, blind Bartimaeus, he had it. See, in society, he looked like he had nothing. Marginalized. No, can't see. Oh, scrutinized. Look at him. Sinner. Imagine what he did. He was like, I don't listen to the naysayers. My God, I don't hear that. Right? Matter of fact, church, you know why I know that he could see, or he was seeing the spirit, as well as his natural healing hearing had to be elevated? They say when you lose one sense, come on, Sister Loretta, right? The other ones get higher. They strengthen. So I can't see, but I might have a bionic ear. Oh, my God. Oh, I hear everything that's going on. So he couldn't see, God, but he could hear Jesus in the distance. He was just waiting for them to tell him who it was. He knew something was coming that was beyond this earth. Oh, church, God is blessing. He got his sight and he could see. Oh, Jesus. How about that? How about that? Can you see? What do you see? That's what he's saying. What do you see? What do you want to see for? See, we got our sight, natural, and we're working on our spiritual. But see, when I started off and did like this, hey guys, that could have been our story. And it ain't over with yet. Not wishing that on anybody, but that could be our story. But it ain't our story. Excuse my English, but so what you doing with it? Hey, I can see the trees, as Evangelist Glenn can say. Hey, you know what? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. See, there's always an opportunity, Sister Loretta. It's bigger than what you see. It's what you really see. See, you got to connect in the spirit. I see the tree, but that tree lets me know there's a Jesus. Oh, my goodness, right? That is only he can put that out there. Man can't grow that. Only him. So that means, hey, if I got a chance every day that I get to go out, things may not be going my way, but if I walk outside and I can see the trees, oh, come on, Sister Shelly. That means that God is still in control and he's still on the throne. I'm still breathing. I still got a shot. Church, that's who we serve. So he's saying, what do you see? Oh, my goodness. See, are you seeing the obstacles? Are you seeing the opportunity? Just like the spies. Jacob and Caleb, when they went out, hey, right? Everybody else, the other 10, they saw the giants in the land. Say, hey, we can't take it, right? They were like, hey, it's land filled with milk and honey. Oh, my God, church. They saw. God saying, what do you see? I've given you all of this. You can see, but I need you to increase what you see, right? Come into the spirit with me. See, and he gave us blind Bartimaeus as an example. And then the other side of that with his own disciples. Wasn't that a trip? Really? They were in his inner circle, running with him every day, and quickly lost sight. Lost sight. Now get this, church. This is going to hit some of y'all if that didn't. And something for all of us. So, as I continue to get revelation, and God was speaking to me again back to Bartimaeus, his father, and his natural father, and the fact that there's not a whole lot of mention of him. Not that he had a father-son relationship. Oh, God, right? His father was in his life. Not necessarily so. Well, how about this? James and John, did you guys know this? James and John, the two disciples, they were the sons of Zebedee. Woo! My God, church, look up Zebedee. Sons of Zebedee. Now, Zebedee, again, their father. Ain't a whole lot mentioned about him. He was a fisherman, right? Because remember, when Jesus came and got them, they were out fishing, so he was pulling a fisherman. That was what they did for business. But there may be more, but what I was able to see or find was in terms of Zebedee, they even link it to he had some kind of means, like he owned a fishing business because he said he had hired hands. So he employed some people. But when Jesus came on the scene, right, James and John, they stepped away. Woo! My God. Dad, we leaving the family business. We going with Jesus. And Bartimaeus, same thing. Couldn't see whatever his story was, but point being this, church, many people, and I know some are part of this group, your father may not have been in your life. Oh, my God. May not have been there for various reasons. In society, a lot of times, when we talk about fathers being the, obviously, the point of the family, you know, the folks who lead spiritually, the head of the house, and protector and provider and all those kind of things. Well, what God was showing me with these two individuals, or these three, or whatever, that they, Sister Loma, there's a reason why there's not so much mention of the father. Because the role of their father, oh, come on, church, of their natural father, was mainly, see, he may have been a part of the birthing process. Oh, my God, hallelujah, right? But it wasn't so much his responsibility or was going to be connected to the raising process. The raising process was going to go on the heavenly father. See, his role or their role as the father was to point them to the father. Oh, God, church, many people, don't take this lightly, don't take it wrong, because many of us don't have the call of whether our father was there or not. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But many people will lean on that as a possible or an excuse of why they can't do something or they're not doing something. Well, my father wasn't there and you know, whatever. You know what, church? Come on, Sister Loma. Hey, I'm not telling you that things couldn't have been better if your father was there or not, whatever the case may be. But what God is trying to tell us in this is that, you know what? All he talked about was the son. My God, right? The father pointed him to the father. And he took over. So you got him as your father.
Yes.
He was the one. So don't ever feel, come on, church, don't ever feel that I was slighted. Oh, my God. Or my father didn't love me if he wasn't there. See, there's a whole lot of stories out there, God, and there are people trying to recover or figure out what happened. Matter of fact, a lot of judgment falls on the child or feeling a certain way that my father didn't love me. Maybe he wasn't there because of this or whatever the case may be. Church, whatever the story may be, because there's many stories. We shared some in the past about how, you know, some fathers have tried to be around or whatever the case may be. But trying to keep this in the spirit, he's letting you know. And I'm saying to myself, man, these are some serious guys, the disciples. I mean, this is some significant people. James and John, they were part of Jesus' inner circle, part of the three. You don't get no tighter and closer than that. And all they say is the sons of Zebedee. Oh, my God. And all he mentioned about Zebedee is, well, you know, they were fishing and he hired some fishermen. So they came from some means, Sister Aloma, meaning they had a little something probably, you know, made money, care for the family. But at the call of Jesus, oh, my God, church, they stepped.
Yes. Yes.
They stepped. Dad, I see you. I got to go with my Heavenly Father. Thank you till this point. But I'm on with him. And the father was supportive. Because he knew that was his job, Sister Loma. See, that's our job, church. So I was breaking it down in the father, but as a mother too. So you may have been that single mom. Oh, come on, church, right? Raising your sons or children, whatever the case may be. Yes, we are here to nurture, to grow, to provide, and do all the things through God. But God, you know what, guys? Our number one thing is supposed to be pointing to Jesus. Oh my goodness, church. When we understand that, there's a lot of freedom that comes in that, a lot of liberties that come in. People get set free because they wonder, well, I don't understand why this is whatever. Jesus is letting, God is letting us know in this description right here that, hey, you know what? The Father, they didn't have to be talked about. Oh my God, church, the National Father. That was not the significant thing. The significant thing was that they followed me. Amen. Amen. Church, when we can get a revelation of that, you talking about next level. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. You talking about chains being broken. Guys, he was blind. He was blind. Is anybody else called blind? I don't think so. I think we all got our natural sight. You may have dim vision, right? Whatever the case may be. But I'm talking about can't see, period. For years, from early life, going about his business, put out on the outside. He's this, he's that. People judging. Hey, man, what? Right? Son of Timaeus. Was said to be honorable. So I'm tied to something honorable, but look at my life. Ooh, God, in the natural, ooh, church, right? But see, in the spiritual, God was setting him up, Sister Loretta, that one day, hear me, church, one day, he would be at the roadside. See, you remember we talked about you do what you do on the regular, right? Hey, I'm waiting on the breakthrough. Get ready, church. This is for somebody. I'm waiting for the breakthrough, whatever that might be. You know, I'm waiting on my healing. I'm waiting on some financial provision, whatever the case may be. And I do what I'm supposed to do to the best of my ability every day. I pray. Oh, man, the rays are coming in, church. God is here. I pray. I praise him. You know, I serve my fellow man. I'm doing my part. Yes. And I'm trying every day, right? But you know what?
as I said last week and probably sometimes before, there's still more month than money. Okay, right back to it. Bartimaeus, out at the roadside. I don't know if this is your story, but this guy, this is pretty serious right here. I can't see. So chances are somebody is rolling me out by the roadside. Gets out there with his cup or whatever, hoping that somebody might put something in there. That became his job, Sister Loretta. Imagine that in terms of waiting on your provision. Now, see, you can say a whole lot of different things. Now, hopefully, he had some other things that were happening for him, but this was one thing he was doing, right? Money and food. Hey, I see that today. There's people waiting in lines for money and food. Different time, same story, but blind. Wow. But he did what he knew to do, Sister Loma. See, it didn't matter what it looked like. It didn't matter what the people said. Oh, yeah, there he is again. Oh, my God, there he is again. Shut up, right? I can imagine them just probably say, hey, you know, alms for the poor, you know, yeah, help him, whatever. Oh, there's him again. I gave you money yesterday. Get out of here. All the stuff he probably had to hear through the years, right? Come on, Sister Loretta. All the way. But one day, whoo, my God, one day, something's going to change. I'm going to keep doing my part. Church, that one day came. Oh, my God. And it was everything. He heard. Again, I can't see, but I can hear. I didn't make that my excuse. I just asked the people, hey, I hear something. Sounds like I hear the sounds of a rushing wind. Oh, my God. Right? This ain't normal. Something else is coming through. It's the anointed one. He said, Son of David. See, church, it wasn't Son of David, money for the farmer. Son of David. Oh, my God. Hey, shut up, son. Son of David. Jesus is like, what? Like the woman issued blood. When he said, who touched me? Oh, he turned around. Have mercy on me. This man did not make an excuse. Church, I can imagine, as I might have said already, hey, he knew he had flaws. Because if Jesus walked in the room, you're going to know you have flaws. Your stuff is going to be like, oh my God, I'm messed up, right? Because he's all of that. So he knew right away. He didn't have to see. He could see in the spirit. Oh, I'm messed up. Have mercy on me, oh son of David, right? I'm a sinner. I've messed up some things in my life. Oh, come on, church, right? But I know who you are. You are the Almighty One. You can judge. You can sin. You can say I did sin or whatever. But because of who you are, oh, my God. Right? Jesus is like, oh, he's got it, Sister Loretta. He knows who I am. Son, what do you need? Oh, my God. How can I help you? And church, he didn't say, again, I want more food. I want more money, right? Church, he asked for his sight. His sight in this case represented, I want my sight. I want more vision than you is really what it went down to. He, as a bonus, he got his natural sight because immediately he went and followed Jesus. He didn't run down the street doing all this, whatever. Immediately followed Jesus, raising him. Church, if that's not an example for us to follow or understand, and you wonder why maybe some things haven't happened to you, oh my God, there's one for you to look at. So church, hallelujah. Focus vision. We got to have focus vision. See, Bartimaeus had it without his natural vision. He was focused day after day. I'm not going to be deterred. I'm not going to be swayed. I'm standing on the word. See, one day the Savior's coming through, right? We're going to have that encounter that we're meant to have. See, I know who he is, and I'm believing by faith. His faith made him whole, just like the woman that issued blood. By faith, it's going to happen. So when I, Sister Loma, am going through my daily, and I get up, and it still hasn't happened, and it still hasn't happened, right? But I can look and say, well, you know what? Not that we're to compare, but I got my natural sight. Oh, my God. Church, that's, hey, man. Again, church, do this. I ain't talking about when you sleep. If you do it for a minute, you start questioning, like, hey, this ain't too cool. I can't see. That's his reality. We ain't there. We got opportunity in front of us. No excuse. Persist. Push forward. See, this world is telling us everything else, guys. More by the day. As more of man's natural laws are coming down. You can't do this. You can't do that, right? We got armed rational guard walking around Washington and getting ready to go in the other states. All kind of stuff, guys. I mean, come on. We see it. Just on the regular. Murder rates going up and they're trying to tell you, oh, it's going down and kind of stuff. Hey, man, everything is going on. Everything to discourage you and say, I just might as well give in to the masses. Not us. Not us, Sister Loma. We ain't going that way. We ain't going that way. We can't. Because see, God is saying, that's why I told somebody else this before. When people say, well, you know, because I said this one time some years ago, you know, well, really? I would miss Yvette. Oh man, church, y'all get me messed up. I would miss her and actually want to go before her, truth be told. But ideally, I would love to be going together, but because I know where we both going. But point being, church, I had enough. I had enough a few years ago on some things I was dealing with. Life is life. It's still life. Right? I'm on this side of some things, but hey, guys, I may be on this other side of some things, but my people ain't. Oh, my God, church. Hey, I know some stuff. I hear some stuff. I'm just me. I'm not God. Hey, it hurts. I don't have to be in the exact situation. I've been through mine, but if you gone through it, I'm hurting too. But see, church, Sister Loma, the point of that, though, I was like, God, I'm ready. Guys, I'm only 62 years old. I've lived a life. If God did nothing else for me, he's done enough. And I'm good. If this is it, I'm good. I know where I'm going. And I ain't. So be it. But as I told y'all at one time, when I walked elder to the gates, oh my God, church, when he gave me that glimpse and I was walking with elder, gave me that visual, me and elder was going. Elder doing his walk. Y'all know the walk. And we got to the gate. And elder was walking in. And he turned back around and he had that smile on his face. And I was like, he was going through, church. I could see it as clear as day. He was going through. And I was kind of like, oh, man. Like, hey, I'm ready to come on in, right? And that gate shut. And God said, not yet. Oh, my God, church. Not your time. You still got work to do, son, in my name. And so I say to all of you right now, that the press is on. Sister Loma, the press is on. Sister Loretta, the press is on. Sister Shelley, and everybody on this line, whatever your space is walking in life right now, there's a press. I'm telling you, I know there's a press. It doesn't have to be the worst of situations. It's just the life. It's in the spirit. It's heavy, guys. We're in a battle out here. It's pushing. But see, as it continues to push, we got to continue to release up. Yeah. Oh, God, y'all saw me drop to my knees last week. Guys, that's it. That's all we got. And so I'm saying to you today, we got work to do. It ain't over yet. That was actually selfish of me to say I'm out. Oh, man, church. Say, you know what? I'm good. I've did a few things. Lord, I'm going to find whatever. I'm ready to go. Hey, I want to be with you. That's cool. That time will come. But God's like, but your sermon ain't up over here. I still need you, son. See, it would be easy if you would think so, right? But what am I going to do? I got an assignment for you. You're aborting the assignment. Oh, come on, church. You can't do that, Sister Loma. Can't do it. So, yeah, it's hard, guys. It's heavy. Carrying the cross, it is heavy, right? But we don't carry it alone. We follow the one that was on the cross. Oh, my God, right? He put it all on the line for us. He's just saying, follow me. Blind Bartimaeus, as I close, stood at the side.
was ridiculed. Totally was nothing. Blind maybe from the age of 5. Can you imagine? Church, get this. I think it is actually would be worse to once see and then lose your sight versus being born that way all along, because you wouldn't know no different. I'm born this way. Hey, that's just who I am. I don't know nothing. But to once see and then have it stripped away? Oh, my God, guys. Hey, I once had that. I wanted, hey, that was him. Church. Ridicule. Probably did nothing. And, you know, in terms of, you know, stuff came on him, just like ailments come on us. Boy, church, day by day, I imagine, in the rain, oh my God, church, wasn't no take a day off. In the cold, in the rain, whenever it was, right? Just making his way. Hey, this is all I can do right now. Right? Until that day. Oh, Sister Lauren, that day is coming. See, it's already here. Oh, my God, right? But see, it's the timing of when God says this is where the ultimate hits. That intersection of destiny and purpose. Oh, my God, church. When he says, you know what? Now is the time. See, and you know what, church? It happens most of the time, right? When we're all the way down. Oh, my God, right? Where we're like, God, I can't take no more. I'm out. He's like, gotcha. Gotcha. Because now you know you had nothing to do with this. And now it's all me raising you up. But see, in the process, you know who I am. And you will give me all the glory. You will say, you know what? Because this is it. Guys, I don't know why I'm going back to this last quick example. I was just talking to my buddy the other day. And I think I shared with you before. But we were on a call, a men's call earlier this week. And it was a gentleman that was struggling. He's out of work. Younger guy. He's probably in his 40s, maybe. And life is happening. He was new coming to our group as far as joining in. You know, this is my guys that I go away to each year. We have a monthly call, encourage each other, bunch of Christian brothers, some are pastors. And so this gentleman was on the call, and guys, at his lowest of low. And he just broke down. He just was like, hey, you know, and he just first time meeting us. And he's just like, I feel like this is a safe place. And in a sense, I'm almost embarrassed to say some of this. And we're like, brother, they ain't probably not much of what you can say that somebody on here hasn't seen or done. So let it go. He was sharing it, you know, feeling inadequate in terms of couldn't provide for his family, all the stuff, right? And oh God, church, he's looking at us. And again, we done been there in some form or fashion. We all have, you know, some stories, right? And so one of my buddies used me an example. And he said to the guy, he said, you may be looking and thinking, oh, these guys got it together. You know, they're maturing their faith. And some of us are, oh, come on, Sister Loretta. They're, you know, some are pastors. And, you know, you heard they introduced themselves a little bit to you. He's like, all these guys got a story. And he said, that's right. And he said, you have no idea. And the guy was like, he's just looking, you know, kind of like, because, you know, and you in that space, you just got like, yeah, that sounds good. But again, bills ain't getting paid. I got kids. Y'all, what's going on, right? Church, he said this, and I think I told y'all this, and this is why, guys, you can always remind me and say, comrade, if I ever go off, like, hey, man, you know, because if it wasn't for God. He said to him, he said, you know what, guys? He said, you know, you've heard some of these guys, you know, story. He said, Conrad, he said, he been through some stuff. He said, you know, so you might look at him, and he said, we joke and we talk about, here we are, grown men now, and somebody will look and say, oh, you know, they got a nice car, you know, they're driving a nice car, whatever, right? But you didn't know him when he didn't have air conditioning. Oh, my God, church. You didn't know him when he didn't have air conditioning in his car. I mean,
It's funny when somebody else starts sharing your story. You know when you say it, but you kind of listening and like, oh man, that really went down. Like that really happened, right? Sister Loma, the guy, and I'm bringing it up for a reason. The guy, Sister Loma, at church, he was looking like this. At first he was just sitting there, you know, kind of feeling sorry for himself. And then he was like, he started looking. And he's like, yeah, you didn't know when you didn't have AC, right? and had to change clothes at work and all this other kind of stuff, you sweat it out. Church. And he's like, you know, see, you're just hearing about the glory, but you don't know the story. Oh my gosh, it's right. Church. But I leave you with this on that same line, because he said this, and I forgot about it in this sense. And I think I said this to you. And this is a wrapper for how God will do things. He said, but the time that Conrad was out of work, 4 years, and just hustling, trying to make a few dollars and, you know, whatever, had worked all along and, you know, life happened. God had another plan, Sister Loretta. See, Conrad didn't know that life was shifting to start to care for his parents. Oh my God, church, right? Y'all know the story, but church, he broke it down like this. And see, this is the one thing. He said, Conrad did that, looked after his mom, looked after his dad, whatever, right? But in the process, Conrad, if God didn't do it that way, Sister Aloma, Conrad might have not had the opportunity to lead his father to the Lord. Church, I broke on the lawn. Guys, it took me back. And I'm taking you there, because out of my drought season, there's a lot of things that were part of it. But that was top-notch stuff right there on the list. See, you could look at it and be like, you know, oh, that's a nice thing. No. What good is it for a man to gain the world, oh my God, and lose his soul? See, church, my father, how important. Nice man, and you know, I know him. But he didn't know the Lord, church, in that aspect, meaning he hadn't given his life to him. So if my assignment, Sister Shelley, and everybody was, you know what? Point them to Jesus. Oh, my God. And Sister Loma, don't give up. Because my dad was persistent the other way. You got your way and I got mine. Church, to know that at the end of the day, he's in eternity. Church, that was the deal. There's no money that can buy that, that can replace that. And see, if I was doing what I thought I was supposed to be doing and what normally would have been doing, that wouldn't have happened. God took me out, put me over here, and said, I got this, Sister Loma. I got all the things you're worrying about that maybe you can't cover at this moment and everybody else on the line, because the assignment is your dad. Oh, God, sir, his salvation is on the line. That's worth more money than anything, any salary that you can make. And as a result of that, I'm going to give it back to you when it's time. Church, what's your focus? Focused vision. It's a vision that does not get deterred. It's a vision that you say, you know what? I'm on assignment for the Lord. I don't understand all the things that are coming along the way. And some things are pulling me this way. Some things are pulling me that way. And I'm wondering, but if blind Bartimaeus, God, I can't get off of him. If blind Bartimaeus can say, son of David, oh God, church, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Oh God, I know I'm not right. I can feel sorry for myself because I can't see. Oh man, I've been blind for years. I would like my sight, but at this given time, I just want you. That's what that encounter was, guys. I just want you. As a bonus, Jesus gave me sight. And he went and followed Jesus. Amen. 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 That's where it's at, church. That's what's up. That's what how we do. So I pray beyond all my hollering that you go there. There's some situations, guys. I know. We're living it week by week. Hanging in there. But there's nothing too big for Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's got us.
Yes.
And when we begin to understand it again, it's understanding who he really is. When we get there, guys, we're going. And that's next level.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah.
Wow. Focus vision. Keep the focus, Sister Loma. Keep the focus, church.
Yes.
The old saying, keep the main thing, keep the focus. Whole lot of stuff gonna take us, sway us this way, sway whatever, right? Yeah, I am not gonna be deterred. I don't care what they said. Yeah, I got a reason to feel a certain way. You know, this is not happening for me. I got this going on, whatever. But his word says, just like he told the devil, right? Man will not live on bread alone. His word says, right? Not what I think or I feel, his word. Because see, if I go on how I think I feel, that's going to be on how I think I feel. And I'm going to be all over the place. But if I hold on to his word, oh, man, like just locked in. Yep, had a moment, but here I am. Amen. Woo, man. I see why the enemy is trying to mess with my stomach. Woo, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Let me say this prayer and then we'll go from there. Oh, God. First off, if there's anyone on the line that does not know this Jesus that I'm speaking of, this Jesus that blind Bartimaeus knew about, he's here for you. See, that was a story over 2,000 years ago of a man by the side, on the side of the road, begging for alms, money and food. But he was really begging to get closer to Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Because he knew what it was all about. That quick in the moment. See, he was ready, guys. This man, he was ready all that time. You know, going out, doing what he does on a daily basis. But see, when the encounter came, he knew that was it. If that's you, but you do not have a relationship with this Jesus. Matter of fact, you have not given your life to this Jesus, this Messiah that I'm speaking of. We'd like to give you the opportunity. It's not complicated. Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us that if you believe that he is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead and that you would make him your Lord, you shall be saved. It's right in there. You can have that. Because he's the same Jesus that met Bartimaeus on the side of that road. He's the same Jesus that educated the disciples when they went off track. And it was his running boys. And they missed it for a moment. Who are we? They're right with him. He's here for you. He's waiting for you. He wants you. But see, he gives you free will. He's not forcing himself on you, but he wants to give you enough to say, you know what? This life without him is not one that I want to have. I got to have him. So he's waiting for you today. If that's you, you can make a comment on the line live. I would just say something behind that, but you don't have to. You can say that in your own private space to him. Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. And you're there. We'll give you a few seconds for that. All right. And then we always often like to offer rededicating. You know, again, this life, that's life, can throw us off, Sister Shelley. Can put us sometimes, we're like, hey, you know, I'm doing all of this and Pastor, all that sounds good, man. But hey, it's been a year now. That gentleman I was talking about online, he just reached his first year of unemployment. And so, hey, you know, it's happening. But he's waiting for you to get back in the right relationship with him. Because see, you can't do it over here. You got to come back over here.
Yes.
He's not judging you. He's not saying, I told you so. Look what happened to you. You went away from me or whatever. He's like, hey, I hope maybe you learned a little something. But hey, let's learn together. Come on back, son and daughter. I'm here for you. That's you. Same thing. If you say something publicly, I'll say something behind that. But if not, in your own private quarters, let them know. Hey, Jesus, forgive me. I'm sorry. I fell away from you, but I want you back. And he's right there for you. We'll give a few seconds for that. All right, we're good. As I always tell you, other people get this message, and there's some stuff happening virtually that is just an incredible thing. So we always like to give people Jesus wherever they are. Let me pray. Let's pray, church. Father God, we just praise you today. Lord, thank you for this message. Father, it reminds me so often of just this particular story of Bartimaeus and how we can seem like we're feeling so insignificant. Like, do you see us really, God? You know, I'm going through this. I feel like I'm out on this island by myself. How you could walk through a crowd, a huge crowd, and see me. Almost in a sense, basically, that you would leave the 99 to come for the one. That's what you did with Bartimaeus. You stopped in your tracks and said, who's that? Tell him to come here. Father, we thank you that you love us and you want best for us. That you never leave us, forsake us. And so, Lord, whatever that we may be dealing with, Lord, we know that we can lay it at your feet. Leave it at the feet of Jesus. He's got it. So, Father, we praise you. We love you. Be with everyone here today, Father God. Let them have eyes to see, like Bartimaeus did. He didn't have his natural sight, but he could see in the spirit. And ears to hear. He didn't have his natural sight, but he had bionic ears. He heard more than what others could hear. Let us have it, Father, that we always stay connected to you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.